I'd like to kindly welcome all of you to our Radha Gopinath temple. It is really a great honor for us to welcome you. And it is a blessing of God whenever whenever we have the wonderful opportunity to meet sadhus, saintly people who are aspiring on the path of self-realization. I was asked to speak for just a few minutes on the bhakti marg. Of course, we do not have very much time. I'm very sorry for this. Hopefully in the future we can meet again for some more extensive period than half hour. In the Bhagavad it is explained, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayatyasu Vairagyam Jnanam Shayadahoitakam, that by engaging in the loving service of the Absolute Truth, Bhagwan, by the practice of bhakti, automatically, janayatyasu vairagyam, knowledge and detachment come about in our life. In the second chapter of Gita, Lord Sri Krishna also explains, viṣayāva-nivāratante nirāharasya dehina rasa-vārajama-rasopasya param drishtvā-nivāratate, that to give up the longings, the pleasures, and the attachment of this material world is very difficult, extremely difficult. At every step, the illusory energy, or maya, is there to try to capture our minds and take it from the path of self-realization. Especially living in a big city, we know that everywhere we go, everywhere we look, our senses are literally bombarded with the temptations of illusion, trying to bring us to the animal platform of just trying to enjoy the temporary mind and senses. And it is explained in the Shastra that when we leave the city and leave our families and homes to go into the jungle, to live within a cave, we have to take our six wives with us, which means our mind and five senses. And we have seen that people living in the city, they are just too much aspiring for the pleasures of this material world. And even when we live to go to a holy place, our mind and senses are still longing for those pleasures. And sometimes they are even more captivated by the illusory energy than if we're right amongst the objects. Certainly, it is very, very difficult to overcome the mind and senses. And Krishna explains in the Gita how this is possible. Viṣayāva-nivāratante nirāharasya dehina rasa-vārajama-rasopasya param drishtvā-nivāratate. He says the mind and senses are very difficult to control. But by experiencing a higher pleasure, a higher taste, one becomes indifferent to the temporary pleasures of this world. Krishna says in Gita, yat karoshi yad ashnashi yad johoshi tapasyat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurusha madarapanam, that whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever charity you may perform, whatever austerities or penances you may undergo, if you do it as an offering to me, as an offering of love to Bhagwan, to the Supreme, he accepts. And through utilizing the same senses, the same mind that we have right now in the positive engagement of the loving service of the Lord, in consciousness of Godhead. We become purified of all of the lower attachments to the sense objects. Atha Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhave Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. This means the same mind and senses that we have, if they are simply utilized through the process of bhakti for the purpose of serving the Supreme, serving Krishna, our mind and our senses become purified. Just like we have eyes, it is very difficult to try to keep our eyes detached from all of the allurements of this world. But by seeing the beautiful form of Bhagwan in this temple, the Lord is appearing as Sri Radha Gopinath. By learning how to relish and appreciate the beauty of that form in a mood of service, the illusory forms of this world we become indifferent to. Similarly, the tendency to hear beautiful music, it is deeply seated in our heart. In the process of bhakti, rather than just trying to totally erase this inclination, we try to purify it by filling our ears with the purifying sound vibration of the holy name of God. Anandamayo Bhyashat. The Brahma Sutra explains that the soul is by nature pleasure-seeking. Something that every living entity, wherever the Atma is present, we find there is something in common, that we are all seeking pleasure. The insignificant ant is looking for pleasure in a grain of sugar. In human existence, we are looking for pleasure in family life, in sex life, in eating foods, in prestige, in wealth. It is the nature of consciousness to be Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, full of pleasure. When those pleasures are in contact with the Supreme, we become purified from all selfish motivations and all material attachments. The nature of the soul, according to the principles of bhakti, is that the soul is meant for the pleasure of God. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim vrachyati. In the Gita, Krishna says that I am the proprietor of all things. Everything is meant for my satisfaction. So when we use our mind and senses, not for our own selfish pleasures, but for the service and the pleasure of the Supreme Truth of Krishna, then naturally, automatically, the real ananda of the soul, of the Atma, is released. Anandam buddhivaradhanam pratipatam punamritashvaranam. By engaging in the service of the Lord of the senses, of Rishikesh, of Bhagwan, our senses find the fullest fulfillment. But it is not simply a fulfillment of the gross senses, but it is the actual fulfillment of the soul which is released through our senses. The difference between bhakti and gross enjoyment is the pleasure of bhakti is the pleasure of the soul manifesting from the very core of our existence and expressing itself through our mind and senses. And material life means, in forgetful of the natural ananda of the soul, we are trying to drag in these temporary pleasures and enjoy that. But they will never fulfill us because they are temporary. But the ananda, the bliss of the soul, is eternal. In bhakti, that bliss of the soul is released. It is manifested. When we use the mind and the senses that we have now in remembrance of God as an offering of sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore, when we are reading the Shastra, when we are doing seva, even cleaning the temple room floor, or going out trying to propagate the absolute truth, or worshipping the Murti in the temple, or having kirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord, these are activities of the body and mind that are meant for the satisfaction and the pleasure in sacrifice to the Lord. This is called bhakti, devotional service. Savai pungshang paro dharamo yato bhakti radhoksha jaya hoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. It is explained in this verse, this shloka, that the supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Absolute Truth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is considered to be a great avatar of Bhagavan, he taught a sublime philosophy. He saw that Sripad Shankaracharya, that great avatar of Lord Shiva, he appeared to teach the Advaita philosophy. And then Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Madhvacharya, they came to teach the Vishishta Dvaita and the Dvaita philosophy. And there was great opposition. And to this day, there's still opposition. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took from the Shastra the synthesis of both. It is called Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva, which means that we are simultaneously one and different, inconceivably simultaneously one and different from the Absolute Truth. Parashya Shaktira Vivadaiva Shruyate, Brahma Sutra explains that the Absolute Truth has diversified energies. Mahaprabhu explained that Satchit Ananda, that we are eternal, we are full of knowledge, we are full of bliss. In quantity, we are in quality, the Atma is non-different than the Paramatma. Just the example is given of the sun. Every ray of the sun is identical to the sun planet in quality. They are of the same constitutional substance. Just as the sun ray is one with the sun planet in that it gives off heat, it gives off light, it is of the same source. Similarly, the Atma and the Paramatma are Satchit Ananda, of the same identical substance. The difference between the sun ray and the sun planet is the sun ray is emanating from the sun planet, and the sun ray is subordinate to the sun planet. It is part of the sun planet. Similarly, in the Upanishads, it is explained, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman, that there is one supreme eternal, Bhagwan, and there are infinite eternals, and those infinite eternals who are of the same identical quality as the one supreme eternal, are eternally subordinate to that one supreme eternal. In other words, that the Jivatma, or the Atma, is eternally the servant of the Paramatma. And when through service, through devotion, through love, we are reunited in the oneness of that love, we want to become merged in the oneness of that eternal love with God. Then, at that time, the eternal transcendent qualities of the soul are manifested. And the highest bliss, the highest ecstasy of that divine love, of liberation from all the sorrows of birth and death, are automatically manifested within our hearts. And of course, Lord Chaitanya also taught that there is an easily and sublime process by which we can cleanse our heart, purify our heart, and bring it back to its natural condition. And that is through the purifying sound vibration of the holy name of God. Nam namakari bahuta nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smarane nakala. That God has many, many names. And in each and every one of these divine names, Bhagawan has invested all of his divine attributes, all of his divine power. And what we associate with, we become like. Just like you are so fortunate to have the satsang of one another, people who are truly striving for purification and self-realization. By associating with sadhus, we become sadhu. By associating with worldly people, we become worldly. By associating with the all pure, we become purified. The name of God is not a material vibration. It is a divine, spiritual, transcendental vibration. And by associating with the sound of that name, our heart, our mind, our senses become purified. And in that pure state, the true ananda, the true eternal qualities of the soul can shine through our lives for the benefit of all living beings. And you see these simple little children, even they can find great, great satisfaction in chanting the holy names of the Lord and become reunited with their source, with their substance, with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So, by studying the Shastra and getting a keen power of discrimination between what is matter and what is spirit, what is truth and what is illusion, by associating with saintly people, by engaging our mind and senses in the service of the Supreme, and by chanting the name of God. This is the process of bhakti, by which we can purify our hearts, purify our senses, and be reestablished in our eternal constitutional position of Satchit Ananda. I wish that we can have a wonderful exchange for a long time. I'd love to hear from all of you. But time is short because you have a pilgrimage today, I think, throughout this unusual city of Bombay. And we would like to invite you all now to take prasad. We have prepared a special prasad for all of you. And again, thank you, and welcome you to come again and again and again to visit us. Thank you very much. Arrivo. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. That this Maha Mantra is especially prescribed in this age of Kali Yuga for cleansing the heart and bringing us back to our natural liberated condition. Iti Sodashakam, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Iti Sodashakam Nam Nam, Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. This beautiful Maha Mantra can liberate our consciousness from all entanglement of material desire and fix our consciousness in its natural condition of loving service to the Supreme.